We're in a series called Insecure. My topic today is called Tall, Dark, Handsome, and Insecure. Okay, a long four words. Tall, dark, handsome, five if you count in. And insecure. Have you ever said to yourself, or maybe thought to yourself, if only I was a little bit taller, a baller, no, not there, not going to go there. If I was a little bit taller, if I was a little better looking. I grew up, and in my teenage years, I had a best friend, and he was very good looking. And when we would go out, all the girls would like him, and I would hate it. I was like, I wish I was a little bit cuter. But now my wife tells me I'm handsome. What that means is I'm above average. I consider myself about a six, you know, maybe seven on some days, like Sundays, especially with these jeans, my value goes up. But I consider that I pastor a church of above average people. We're about sevens here, seven to eight, you know. Now, we have some nines. 10, okay, whoa. All right. So I guess between 7 and 10, let's just settle there. So pretty good looking church, a pastor. But just because you're good looking doesn't mean you're secure. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're secure. Just because you're powerful doesn't mean you're secure. Just because whatever, you're successful doesn't mean that you're secure. Today we're going to look at a guy who was all those things. We're going to look at the most successful and insecure guy in the Bible and how one small thing called insecurity destroyed his kingdom, destroyed his life, stole his joy, and made him mad. I don't know if you're a church-going person. You probably know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about King Saul. King Saul was the most insecure guy in the Bible, and eventually he lost his mind because of insecurity. So if you're wishing today quietly saying, I wish I was a little bit skinnier, ladies, I wish I just didn't have these things here, if you're a guy, you know, the older you get, your body changes, right? You look at yourself in a mirror naked and you're like, I wish I didn't see that. You used to look at yourself and go, oh. And now you're like, what's going on here? If you're like me, sometimes you wished you were a little bit wiser. Have you ever wished you were a little bit wiser? A couple of weeks ago, I'm going to tell you my successes and my failures. A couple of weeks ago, a lady came to me and said, Pastor, I'm going to go to this town. Something is happening, you know, and she's excited telling me her story about how excited she is. And as a pastor, you know, I got used to people coming to me and telling me their problems. So I'm like, I said, well, let me pray for you. I really didn't listen to her. I assumed that her story was, this is bad. I know. I'm correcting it. I assume her story, like most people, Pastor, pray, I'm in trouble. So I'm like, Lord, come the wind, come the storm, blah, blah, blah. After I'm done praying, she says, Pastor, actually, this thing that's happening to us, it's actually a good thing. It's actually, it sounds like even too good to be true. And when I heard it, I was like, what do I do now? Can I pray and correct the prayer? And then I left, and I felt so stupid. I'm like, God, could you please give me a little bit more wisdom? Help me shut my mouth and open my ears and actually listen to what people have to say. You know, sometimes as pastors we get used to certain things. And she was kind of out of ordinary. Everything is good, Pastor. There is no storm. I'm like, well, for future storms, you know, I got you covered. Sometimes you wish you were a little bit more intelligent. I'm going to go there. A couple of years ago, we went to Pastor John Piper's conference. And if you know Pastor John Piper, this guy is so smart. And if you didn't go to college, You're like, what am I doing here? So most of us are sitting there and we're snoring with our eyes open because his prayer is like a book. His only one prayer is not like me or mine, like, Lord, bless the food, you know? It's like, Lord God, heaven, and eternity, and big words. We're sitting there, and one of my buddies snoring with the eyes open. And I go, why are you snoring? And he's like, I'm mad. He's like, I can't understand a word he's saying. Who was it? You don't want me to say who was it. You do? Come on up here. Come on up here. Am I telling the truth? Just come on up here, man. Okay. He's mad. He said, I can't understand the word he's saying. Alex, I think they all went to college. So we couldn't handle the last session. We got up, all of us, and we left. We're like, thank you, John. Appreciate it, man. But we just can't get it. And it's right after lunch, right? It was right after lunch. So we were just like fed up with some barbecue and good food. And they were like, yeah. Okay, we got to go. Don't you ever wish you were a little bit smarter or more intelligent or more educated or you had a higher intellect? Don't you wish you were a little bit more successful, better looking, prettier, taller? And we say this, if only I was this, then I would truly be happy. I want to make a declaration today that that's a lie from the devil. You can clap, yeah. That's a lie from the devil. Today we're going to look at a man who had it all. And today he will prove for us that that theory, that that thought pattern is not from God and it's wrong. This man had it all, but because of his insecurity, ended up living a lonely, maddening, and unhappy life. We're talking about King Saul. Let's read. 1 Samuel 9:2 says this. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel. Whoa, he was number 10 in Israel. So why? Head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. So he's tall, he's dark, and he's the most handsome guy in Israel. James, come over. Come on. You're tall. Come on, man. All right, you come then. Yeah. Now, LeVar is tall, but he's not a head taller than me. In the first service, we had a guy, Micah, and he was like, I had to look at him like this. So Saul was like this, and the rest of the people were like this. How you doing, Saul?
Good, David.
David, all right, go sit down. He's not Saul, and I'm not David. But this guy had it all. Actually, Bible mentions it twice about his looks. Let's open another. Samuel 10:23 says, so they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. So this guy had it all. The reason they brought him out, because Israel appointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. And they chose him, and he was good looking, and he was strong, and Saul had it all. Saul was not a bad guy. If you've been going to church for a while, you look at Saul as a bad guy because you know his end. But if you look at his beginning, he was a gentleman. Saul was a nice guy. He was from a good family. He loved his father and mother. He was a responsible young man. 7 of his father's donkeys disappeared. Saul didn't say, send a servant. He said, I'll go and find those donkeys. Saul was kind. Saul was loving. He was a very good guy. When they anointed him to be king of Israel, he was the first king of Israel. Bible says that he destroyed all of Israel's enemies but one, Philistines. He destroyed Amalekites, Amorites. He destroyed Moabites. He destroyed all the enemies because Israel was occupied by different countries. They were robbing them, killing them, and making the country's economy run dry. When Saul became a king, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he destroyed all the enemies but one. Saul is a successful general. He's tall, dark, handsome, good-looking. He's rich. He's powerful. He's successful. People love him. He's a great guy. The Spirit of God is upon him. He's chosen by God. Man didn't choose Saul. God anointed Saul to be the king of Israel. But there's one problem with Saul. And you would think Saul is greedy. No. You would think Saul is mean. No. You would think Saul doesn't take advice from anybody. No. What is it? It's one word that can destroy our life and we don't even pay attention to it. It's insecurity. Saul has a hidden secret insecurity. When people look at him and say, wow, he's good looking, Saul thinks he's not. He's hiding. They found him and they brought him out. They appointed him king and he went hiding under the luggage. Saul is insecure. I was listening to a podcast of a coach, and he was talking about, he's a soccer coach in college, and he was talking about how he recruits people to be on his team, and who they give scholarship to, and who they don't give scholarship to. And they said, a lot of parents, a lot of moms come to me and say, my child, he's an amazing soccer player. He can see the whole field when he's running. And they start bragging, and he was good, and he scored this and that. And he said, when we choose a person who we want to sponsor and give scholarship to, we don't look at how good they are in certain areas. Although that plays into it. He said, the number one thing we look at is how confident are you? And how much you believe that you can win as a champion, championship. He said, you can work on people's skills, you can get people better, but if they don't believe in themselves, if they don't have confidence in themselves, he says, we, although they might be good, we bypass them. We want people who believe they can win. We want people who believe they can win. Because people who believe they can win will do whatever it takes to win. Saul is not humble, he's insecure. There's sometimes people act like they're humble, but they're insecure, really. And insecurity is a demon that will destroy your life. Yes, I said it. It's a demon that will come attached to you and try to destroy your life. Insecurity is a thief. Yeah, you'll get it. That's okay. First few rows got it, but eventually it's going to get there. Yeah, insecurity is a thief of your life. It steals your life. What is insecurity? Insecurity is irrational fear. It's irrational fear feeling that you feel like you are not good enough. For example, there's some legitimate fears that we fear. Let's say you're home alone in the middle of the night. Somebody is trying to break through your door. That would make you legitimately afraid. Is that a legitimate fear? Yeah, you should do something about it, right? You should get up and call the police or get your big. Yeah, you should protect yourself and your family. For example, if there's a serial killer on the loose, right, and he's at your door, protect yourself. But it's normal to feel fear, okay? However, if you're sitting at home watching TV and everything is good, and suddenly the same fear comes in you and makes you feel like something bad is going to happen, like you're not good enough, like nobody loves you, that's an illegitimate fear. And I would like to say that's a fear sent from the devil to attack your life while there is no danger. The devil wants you to always feel insecure. He wants you to develop suspicion spirit. Some people are so sensitive that no matter what you say, they're so suspicious. They see an enemy around every corner. That's insecurity. Sometimes people see an enemy in every person. For example, ladies. A girl looks good today in church. and you saw her, and suddenly you found one thing you didn't like about her. Her skirt was just above her knees. Who does she think she is? Why is she here? Dressed like a her. Next Wednesday you come and you're wearing these, and a pastor wants to go, I want to take a picture and send it to you and give it to you. Quiet in this Baptist church now. Right? Because in areas we are insecure, we try to attack others. You see a guy driving a nice car and you're like, he's paying payments, whatever. I can do that too. You know? Who does he think he is? He should give money to the missions. And this just kills me. You know, I work two jobs. I work this job and another job. And my financial blessing came from my work. And people sometimes get so insecure. Sometimes we go on a pastor's retreat. And they're like, what are they doing taking vacations from church money? Blah, blah, blah. We don't take vacations from church money. That was our money. I'm sorry, I saved it, and I, you know, you should be. See, instead of being happy for people, the Spirit comes and he whispers, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? King Saul, rich, dark, handsome, successful, powerful, has it all. He has four children who are boys, two children who are girls. He has six kids, plus he has two kids with another woman who is his concubine. I know it was wrong, but they did it in those days. It was bad. And so he has lots of kids. He has grandkids. He has it all. He just defeated Philistines, who were his last enemies. And this is how it happened. Watch this. Philistines, who were the last enemies of Israel, came back and attacked Israel. So Saul gathered a huge army. And they stood on the side, each side of the valley, facing one another. And so what they decided to do in that day, because Philistines had this giant. His name is called Goliath. That's his name. Now we make Goliath now as somebody big, but that was his actual name, Goliath. He was about 9 feet tall, maybe taller. Big warrior from his youth, Bible says, right? And so they said, okay, bring out one of your guys and let him fight our guy, who's Goliath. And whoever's man defeats another, that group of people will become servants and slaves. Why should we kill all the men? We can take so many more slaves if we just, you know, do this. How many of you watched a movie called Troy? Troy, great movie with Brad Pitt, right? In that movie, it begins like that. Two armies are facing each other, right? And Brett and this big, what's his name? Steve Austin, I think. Is it Steve Austin in that movie? It's a big dude, though. Big, bold dude. I mean, muscly. And he comes out and laughing. And then this 5'10 guy comes out. And he runs to him, takes a sword, and puts it in his neck. So quick, I'm like, what happened? And then the king of that opposite army says, give this to your king. And the guy says, he ain't my king. Some of you are going to go watch that movie. No. Got to see what pastor's preaching about. But that's what they would do. They would fight one another. And so here's the dilemma. For 40 days, Goliath comes out, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he curses out the God of Israel. For 40 days, he comes out, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he stands in the middle of the field. And he says, I thought you were people of God. Isn't there one anointed among you who can fight me? And Saul is a head taller. I don't know what he's thinking. Because he's the biggest dude in the, you know. But he's not going to fight. And you can't blame him. He's a king. King don't have to go and fight a war. President Obama doesn't go fight ISIS, right? He sends people to fight for him, right? And then when those people get him a victory, President Obama comes out and gets all that. That's what kings do. I mean, that's just what they do. And so for 40 days, nobody's there to fight this big, ugly giant. And suddenly David comes to visit his brothers. David is about 16 to 17 years old, maybe at that time. His dad told him, go and bring your brother some cheese. Yeah, milk and cheese. Yeah, bring some cheese, grilled cheese. So David goes out there, and when David hears, David is a shepherd boy, and when David hears that this man, giant, is cursing God, he's like, you curse my people? Fine. You curse my king? Fine. But if you curse my God, something's going to happen. So David starts, you know, he can't get to the king right away. You know, king is surrounded by bodyguards. So David starts talking like a cocky young man he is. You know, if I was, I could kill this guy. Well, who does he think he is? So suddenly the word gets to the king, and king brings him in and says, David, you want to fight the king? David says, yeah, fight this Goliath. Yeah, I'm going to fight him. So king puts his own armor upon this 16, 17-year-old kid, his own armor. David is not tall. Actually, David is a redhead, Bible says. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, there's Jewish redheads. I've been in Israel. I've seen them. I don't know how that come out, but just go with it. Just go with it. Redhead are awesome. I grew up being redhead. All my pictures from childhood, I have bronze hair. I dye it now to make it whiter. No, I'm just kidding. No shame in that. Yes, thank you. And so David hears it. They bring him in, and they give him the armor of King Saul, and it doesn't fit him. He feels small in it. It's this king is huge. David is small. And David goes and kills. You know this story, David and Goliath. He takes a rock, and he kills this guy, drops him to the ground, cuts his head off. Some of you are like, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Go with that too. And so here's where we pick up. Till that time, King Saul is doing good. Guys, he's doing great. King Saul is confident. This is the last battle he has to fight. And what it says is Samuel 18, 9 through 16. No, this is good. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home. So that after this battle, King David, after David killed the Philistine, women from the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with timbrels and cymbals. And this is what they said. Everything is good till this moment. This is their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. Trouble is brewing. That's how gossip is started, you know? Right? How many of you into sports here? I'm into sports. In the sports, when a team wins the next day on a radio, a Jim Rome show, right? Oh, the best team in the world. Oh, I think they're going to take championship. Next week, they lose. Awful. They should fire a coach. Who do they think they are? You know? And so people do that. We exaggerate. We love to have superheroes. See, by celebrating somebody else's victories does not diminish your own success. Amen. Celebrating somebody else does not make you smaller. It actually makes you greater. Yep. Help me out, somebody. Yep. And so you would think King Saul would say, hey, this guy is amazing. I should have him on my team. Right. I should have him be the general of my army. Right. Do you think that's what King Saul says? See, insecure leaders say, wow, I discovered a gift. Let me use him as much as possible. That's what secure leaders do, right? Secure bosses, those of you who employ people, when you find a good person, you're like, man, I got to pay him so I can keep him. This guy can make me some bacon here, right? This is amazing. Yes, someday he might start his own, but that's okay. I can use him now as long as I can. Let me honor him. Let me celebrate this guy. David could be a great addition to my bodyguards. That's what secure people do. Secure women, when they see another beautiful girl dressed nicely, they go, wow, you look so beautiful. Where'd you buy those shoes? Insecure. Hater. Haters, right? How many of you ever had haters? Yeah. How does it make you feel? Okay. You're too deep right now. I'm just trying to be. It doesn't make you feel good when you have haters. So why do you become a hater sometimes when God blesses somebody else? Because you have haters, doesn't feel good. But then why do you become a hater when somebody is doing good? Let me tell you guys the secret to insecurity. It's being grateful to the secret to overcoming insecurity. It's being grateful for what you have and enjoying the gifts that you have. Number two, it's celebrating the gifts and looks and successes of others. You want to have victory over insecurity over your life? You got to change how you look at people who are a little bit higher than you. See, I know you don't care about people. I know people who are lower than you. You don't care. You're like, I don't care about you. You don't bother me. It's the people who are just, or we perceive a little higher than us that we become threatened by. Next verse. I'm almost done because I'll finish this next week. Yeah. I can go another hour. You don't want that. Front row, you could see their enthusiasm, but the back row is like, finish it up, man. Mama's dinner, yeah, whatever. This made Saul very angry. What's this? See, insecurity makes you think the worst. Security makes you think the best. Oh, I can use this person. I can use them. I can hire him for my business. Maybe he can manage my branch over here or this branch here. That's what secure people do. Insecure people get threatened. What's this? Saul says. They credit David with 10,000. He only killed one guy. And me with only thousands. I killed thousands. Dude, just let him have his 15 minutes of fame. Why are you so threatened by somebody's 15 minutes of fame? Celebrate them, enjoy them, bless them, love them, promote them, lift them up. Next, they'll be making him, back one verse. Next, they'll be making him their king, so he thinks worse. Hold on, Saul. Who appointed you king? God. And if God has appointed you king, you didn't appoint yourself, so why are you worried about it? Who gave you gifts? God. So why are you worried about it so much? If he wants to take him, let him take him. It's not yours, it's his. But he put you a king, and he wants you to enjoy being a king. Why are you paranoid? Thank you. Next verse. Listen to this. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Next, 10. The very next day. What very next day? Hold on. The next day after the women were singing, David killed 10,000. A tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. Told you insecurity is a spirit. Told you insecurity is a spirit. And so you can't just wish it away. You have to ask God to work with you and remove it. Insecurity is like anger. You can't just wish it and pray it away. You have to ask God to help you remove it out of your life because it's damaging. Let me show you how damaging insecurity is. You think greed is damaging. You think stealing is damaging. You think cheating on your wife is damaging. Insecurity is even more damaging, and yet we pay least attention to it, even in church. People become mean as a snake when they're insecure. People become bullies because they're insecure. People become abusive because they're insecure. Then the very next day, a tormenting spirit from God. Now, what is that? Does God send a tormenting spirit? No. Bible says God does not tempt anyone by evil. But it says from God. Well, what that means is, you remember in Job's life? Job was the richest, the blessed man on earth. Satan came to God and he asked for permission. He said, you know why? Satan is a trickster. You know why God, he serves you, Job serves you? Because you bless them. Because you bless them so much. Take away his money. The first thing Satan likes to do is take away your money. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Money ain't everything. Well, being broke isn't that fun either. Right? And God doesn't want you to be super rich, but God wants you to be, you know, have what you need. Yeah, secure and have what you need. So don't go religious on me here. This is not prosperity. This is just gospel. Okay? And so Satan says, can I take his money? God says, go ahead and take his money. Then he takes his possessions. Then he takes his children. Money, possessions, children. Watch out. this is how Satan works. He wants your money. Addictions, what do they do? They take your money first, your health. Health is like the fourth thing. It's the last thing, health. Yeah, yeah. So it takes your money, takes your possession, takes your children, takes your wife. Remember what wife of Job says? Curse God and die. Are you still going to trust him? Are you going to trust that guy up there? Really? Just curse him. So she cursed him. Have you ever seen this? The reason she said curse him, because she already cursed him. I can go so many ways here. It's like, that's a revelation I just got myself. Maybe we'll leave it for next week. Next week. Now he says, you got to come next week. God is too big in knowledge. You can't fill it all. I got to quit. It's like, yeah. Okay. Tormenting spirit came. Tormenting spirit means this. It's a spirit that came to God and said, God, I see Saul, his insecurity. I have a right. And God says, yes, go ahead. God allowed that. That's pretty much it. God allowed it. And look what happened. Then very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave. He went mad in his house like a madman. David was playing a harp, as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand. Next verse. Look what insecurity makes you do if you have power. If you don't have power, you won't kill anybody. But if you have power, if you did have power, that's why God doesn't give some of us power. Because we would abuse it so much. Look what, that's why you don't need power. Thank God for not giving you too much power. Just thank him. Just thank you, God, for not giving me too much power. Because people with too much power and insecurity... Insecurity is a murderous spirit. Guys, insecurity is a murderous spirit. You see somebody succeeding and you want them to go to prison because you assume that they're doing something illegal. You see somebody pretty, you want them to break a leg. You want a dog to bite him in the face. Too much? Too much? Too far? Guys, don't raise your hand, but if you're honest... Don't raise your hand, but if you're honest, you know what I'm talking about. You've had the thoughts too. You've had them. That's why you're laughing nervously. And he suddenly hurled it at David. So he takes a spear. His insecurity gets to him. He takes a spear and he throws it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. He wants to kill David. This is not a play game. But David escaped twice. Actually... History tells us, oral history tells us, David escaped 25 times from Saul. A 17-year-old kid, a 17-year-old kid has to go through that. It didn't enter his mind yet to be king. And you already hate him. You already, and by hating him, you give him too much power. From this moment on, guys, for 10 to 15 years, I'm almost done. Give me a second. King Saul abandons his palace, abandons his wives, his children, his grandchildren, all the comforts of the palace. He abandons good wine, good food. He abandons the musicians and the dancers. He takes 3,000 men and he chases for 10 to 15 years a kid in a desert, smelling dust, eating dirt, living in tents, peeing in caves. Am I right or am I wrong? If you read the Bible, I'm telling the truth. And each time God gives an opportunity for David to kill Saul, and David wouldn't take it, and you would think that King Saul would just give up and say, I'm just going to go and enjoy my life, and I'm going to focus on the real enemy. Because Philistines, after the defeat of Goliath and the army, they came back. Actually, Philistines are the ones who killed Saul. That's how Saul died. King Saul died because of Philistines. Read your Bible. 1 Samuel. Help me out, yeah? And so Saul, instead of focusing on what you need to be focused on, building your army, raising leaders, enjoying your life, Your insecurity makes you chase something. Do you work so much because you need to or because you're chasing something? Do you? Come on, somebody. Are you sacrificing your time away from family and church because you really need to do that, or because you're so insecure and you're trying to prove to the world that you're better than everybody? Are you losing rest and sleep? Are you working too hard to gain the material gain? Many of us, if we're honest, we would say yes. And the reason it is because we're insecure. But the truth is, King Saul, you have it all. The truth is, all of you who hear me and those who are watching online, you already have everything that God has given you, everything that you need. And if you can only look in, Apostle Paul said this. He says, Philippians 4:11. This is the last scripture and we're praying. Philippians 4:11. Second after the comma. For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. This is the secret. This is a secret to learn. I have learned. Doesn't come easy. You have to learn it. I have learned. That's why you come to church. Church is school where you learn. Okay. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. What a blessing. Next verse, 12. For I know how to live on almost nothing and I'm content, or with everything and I'm content. I know how to live on almost nothing and I'm content, and almost and everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little. What God is trying to tell you, your happiness is not in more, it's in now. Listen to the last verse. For I can do, say it, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It's Christ, people. It's Christ. It's Christ alone. Your hope and your security. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's not a boyfriend. It's not a girlfriend. It's not your possessions. It's Christ. It's Christ. Alone, cornerstone. Oh, I gotta quit. You gotta come back next week. That's it. Come back next week. I went too long today. But it's Christ. I want you to know it's Christ. It's Christ. It's learn to live with what you have, and it's Christ, the source of my security.